The poetry of God's love for us. Years ago, when I was in seminary at Southern, a prayer group that I was a part of met to discuss the theological themes in Southern fiction. Over the many months that we had met, we were able to draw many insights from contemporary writers. Also, one of our group made the remark that music and poetry take us to an entirely different level of meaning than prose. In that very moment, he was able to say something that we had all experienced in our spiritual journeys. The ability of the more abstract media and images to speak to our souls. Our rational, linear world expects us to relate to matters of faith in a logical, cognitive way. Yet, when we come to passages like this one that we read today from the Song of Solomon, it reminds us of the gift of the Spirit moving in and through the beauty of poetry to inspire and evoke that deep feeling that is within each of every one of us, down to our very being. You see, the dialogue in Song of Solomon is between two lovers seeking to find ways to woo each other and to begin a relationship with one another. It is the language of deep emotion, and it reminds us of the sacredness of human love. On yet another level, we can, like the early church mystics, draw parallels with humanity's relationship to God. You and I are wooed by God, and the mystery of the divine love is captured beautifully in the language of desire and affection. Through the use of poetry, the relationship with God is described in ways that opens up to a more heart-centered understanding of a divine covenant that we have to think about our feelings. Where does it come from? We must simply wade out into the language and try to feel what it evokes, what it brings forth in us. Verses 10b through 12 says, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." Hear the words of the speaker as she revels in the promise and hope of springtime and new life. It is a time of celebration, and all creation breaks forth into song. Perhaps there have been times of barrenness and struggle, but now her heart is full, for the winter is past. What an awesome image it is for us to capture the mystery of our redemption and the love of God for all creation. Springtime. Springtime, with all of its gifts, reminds us that God is present in all places during all seasons of life. You think about it, when spring comes, how many of us, at winter is over and we're so ready for spring and everything is beautiful and things are popping out and the beauty of seeing things and smelling and just new life coming to earth, coming to for us to see, for us to hear, for us to smell, for us to experience this joy. You see, our senses are something that come to life. We engage all of our senses as we experience the wonder of God's love for each and every one of us. Listen closely and you can hear the birds in the trees. Inhale deeply and you can smell the perfume of the flowers and it will fill your very lungs. Taste the ripe fruit of the tree and look for the explosion of color on the hills. There's lots of things that bloom, and in this time of the year, the past month, and we've had the apples that have and peaches that are coming off and the grapes that are coming into full ripeness. All these things that are beautiful. All the things that explode. All the things that come to life. And then, of course, we see things begin to go away. We can feel the warmth of the sun on our skin and listen for the voice of your beloved calling your name. God's love surrounds you in the multitude of ways. He surrounds you and I every day in so many ways. Experience the reality of God's promise in all of creation. You know, the prophet Isaiah tells us in chapter 43, verse 19a, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It says, I'm about to do a new thing, and it's going to just spring forth. Do you not perceive it? Are you not ready? Maybe the best way to approach this passage is for us to simply to acknowledge that we must sometimes listen with our bodies and our hearts. We must pay attention to receive what the divine lover has for each and every one of us. In her commentary on the Song of Solomon, Renita Weems challenges you and I to do just this, as she writes, to behold the beauty and to hear the sacred is in our routines. We must take care to lean closer and see God's face and to hear God's voice in our lives. We have to open up our hearts and our minds to feel, to see, to touch, to taste, to hear the words of Scripture that is brought forth in our lives. You know, when we have disciple Bible study, those are the things that we ask each person. There's five the senses we ask you to write them down. And when you read the Scripture, you are to read it as if you can feel it, see it, touch it, taste it, smell it. All the things around. To think about how Scripture works through us all. And to tell me what you have seen when Scripture is read, what you felt, what you can smell, what you can see, what you can taste. It's an experience that we all need. We all need to think about how we experience God and how God shows that in our lives. We need to try to see God's face and to hear God's voice in our lives. We need to think about who God is. We need to get closer to the people around us. We need to look and see. Because, you know, we can see God's face and hear God's voice in people all around us. And sometimes it's in the unexpected. It's in the very unexpected. I heard a story this past week of a man talking about working at a food kitchen, like a food pantry type thing, and they served meals also. They gave away food, but they also served meals. And he said he went down to help because someone said, you need to come down to the mission and help us. He said, man, what do you want me to do? He said, no, just come down and listen. Come down and talk to the guys. Just listen to them. See what they've got to say. See what's going on. He said, well, the one day he came in and he sat down and he was talking to this young guy and he said, I was sitting there and I was thinking. And he said, he was 22 years old and I'm thinking, how in the world can this fella at 22 years old be homeless? What in the world's going on? And he said, he listened to this young man's story and he began to tell the story of his life. And he told at what age he was. I think he was 9 years old when his mom killed herself. Then when he was about 13, his younger brother killed himself. Years and years went by and he went on, he was doing good. He was trying to get along with everything and his dad was working and helping him out. He went off to college. In his second year in college, his dad took his life. This young man lost all his both parents and a sibling to suicide. And he said, that's when it started for me. He said, I started doing crack. I started cocaine, anything I could find, anything to get high. And he said, I was living from here to there. I'd lost everything. He said, and all I had was just a few suitcases and a couple of backpacks. He said, and then something happened. He said, not long after that happened to me, he said, I received a $70,000 gift. Came to me as a life insurance thing. He said, and what did I do? He said, I blew it. He said, I partied. I went around. I had the best time. He said, I had the most friends you'd ever have. I had the most girlfriends hanging around. Just people were everywhere. He said, I lived. And I had the most amazing time. He said, and all of a sudden one day I woke up and there was no more money. And there was no more friends and there was no more girls. There was no more anything. He said, everybody had gone away. And my life consisted of a few suitcases and a couple of backpacks is all I had. And I was on the street. He said, I lived with friends for a while, but I was on the street. And he said, and I've lived everywhere. He said, and one day, right here at this very mission, he said, a man came in and said, I've watched you work around here. You're working. You're trying to get your life together. He said, I need two people to come and work for me. He said, okay. He said, you pick out one that you think can work. He said, and this man took us, and we went about 100 miles from here. He said, and over the years of me living on the street, he said, my stuff had dwindled down to just a couple of backpacks. And he said, and then all of a sudden they were gone. He said, but in that backpack was a Bible that my grandma had given me. He said, that's one thing that I kept all those years, that she had wrote me a note in the front of it and told me that I would find what I needed in the pages of this book and how much she loved me. And he said, that was what I was the saddest about, is that I lost something like that. He says, we have to hold on to those things. He said, I went with this guy, me and my friend, he said, and we went 100 miles. He said, he had bought an old apartment house. He said, and he was cleaning it out and getting it ready to, he said, and what our job was to clean up. He said, we threw away more garbage that day and filled up dumpster after dumpster. He said, and up on about the third floor, he said, I was down catching the bags and things and putting them in. He said, and I went on up, and my friend had collected a bunch of stuff over in the corner. And he said, are you going to get rid of that junk? He said, no, I think I'm going to save all this because it looks like some stuff we might can use. We might can make a little money on it. He said, and I went over and I looked. He said, and in the bottom of that pile was a book. He said, and I pulled it out, and it was a Bible. He said, and when I opened it up, there was my love letter from my grandma, and that was my Bible. He said, I have no idea how that Bible ended up where it was at. I have no idea how it all happened. He said, but let me tell you. He said, God made that happen for me. He said, God allowed me to get my life back together. God allowed me to find that, to be that thing that I needed, for someone to tell me that they love me, for someone to remind me that they care about me, for someone to say that we have to open up our hearts and open up our minds. He said, yes, I lost the people that I love the most. He says, but my grandma is the one who was always there. She's the one who always loved me, the one who always cared, the one who sent me that note, the one who made it important. He said, and I knew so much of the words and that thing as a kid. He says, we can't forget it. He said, and I took care of it until the point when I couldn't take care of it no more. He said, and for some reason, God allowed it to be taken care of so that I could find it. And he said, now it's a part of who I am each and every day of my life. He said, the words have come true. The words ring true every day. They come forth. You see, we have to open up our hearts. We open up our minds so we can feel, so we can see, so we can touch, taste, and hear the words of Scripture brought forth into our lives. He said, that Scripture was brought forth into my life, and it has made all the difference. We need to experience the face of God in the world around us each and every day. And he said, the world around me now is that I went back and I finished school. And he said, now I work right here at this place, the place that saved my life, the place that I help people transition to get them off the street, to get them out to a job, to help them make that decision. He said, because part of them, yes, that's where they want to be, but the majority of them, no, they don't need to be there. So God allowed love to touch his life as a child and to stay with him through a lot of heartache and pain, but to also bring him back together in the end. We never know who we're going to talk to, who we're going to run into, and what kind of story we'll have to tell. Just listen to the people around you. Take time to find out about this love that God has for us, that he woos us from afar, and he woos us close to home, and he brings us to himself. Let us pray.